if we live our lives on purpose. You know, of course, my senior pastors, Pastor Nigel and Andrea, we just acknowledge them there in Fremantle. And we just pray that God would bless them, you know, for leading us and guiding us and having a desire to see that this community that where we operate from is blessed and that they would get to experience the power of God, you know. So I just want to acknowledge Pastor Nigel and Andrea. You know, Mark Twain said that the two most important days in your life are the day you were born and the day you found out and you find out why. And that's really important, you know. We were born, and this question will always linger, why is it I am on earth? You know, and this is often a question that I've asked myself, even when I was a young person. But I know there was something deep within me that always said, you know, I want to accomplish something. I don't know what it is, but, you know, I want to matter. I want to, when my time comes to go, because unfortunately it's coming, you know. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10 says that, you know, whilst you're here on earth, do enjoy your life, work your hardest, do whatever you can, because it says, for where you are going to the grave, there is no planning, there is no this and that. And so the question is that, why am I here? Why are we here? You know, are we here just to take up space in a building, just to come and gather as like a social club? And that question, I guess, dogged me for a very long time. And I remember struggling when I was at school and failing. And, you know, you start thinking, my life has come to an end. Because back then, all parents would tell us, you know, all, and I would say Zimbabwean parents, you know, especially, they would say, you need to get an education. You need to get an education. You know, there was no such thing as that you're going to play sport. That wasn't an option. There was no option that you're going to be a musician. You have to go to school. Now, that was their thinking, you know. And so I failed and I thought, oh, the end is nigh for me. You know, what is my life going to be like? But, you know, I remember saying to myself, you know, even if it takes me 20 years to get a degree, you know, I will make sure that I get it. And from the moment that I said that, 5 years later, I was capped with my degree, a Bachelor of Commerce. And I remember thinking after the ceremony, you know, I thought I would feel really good and I would feel great. But I was just like, is this it? You know? I've accomplished that, but is that it? And it just wasn't enough, you know. And then I began to really chase after my purpose. I started getting involved in youth ministry, and I continued looking for this thing called purpose. Like, what is it? Why am I here? And perhaps you may have thought, you know, or feel confused as to why you are here on earth. Why am I here? You know, you've got a family, you've got children, you've got grandchildren, you've got great-grandchildren, you're a young person, just trying to discover what is it that you're doing. You're a business owner. Every day you go in, there's lots of work to do, bills to pay, things to worry about. But there's deep down, there could be this feeling of, is this it? You know, is there anything else? Why am I here? You know, the story I want us to take us to comes from Judges. And we're going to focus on Gideon. And it came at a time when the children of Israel were under siege. They were under siege by the Midianites and the Amalekites. And so instead of them, you know, moving forward and taking land and conquering, they were bunkered down and scared. They were really scared by this army. And what would happen is that each time that they would get a harvest, this army would come through and take things away from them. And so you can imagine they were feeling really, really stressed. We know that our world at this time is feeling really stressed because we went to sleep on 31 December 2019 thinking, you know what, 2019 is gone. We look forward to what is going to happen next, coming up in the next day. And then come 2020, things haven't gone, I guess, the way that we expected them to go. But the good thing is, each and every one of us is still alive. Each and every one of us is still breathing, which basically tells us that there is a plan, there is a purpose for our lives. And so in Judges 6, and I'm going to paraphrase as we go, it said that, now all the Midianites, Amalekites from verse 33, and other eastern peoples joined forces and crossed over the Jordan and camped in the valley of Jezreel. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, summoning the people to follow him. Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand as you have promised, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there's dew only on the fleece and all the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand as you said. And that is what happened. So he rose early the next day, he squeezed the fleece and wrung out the dew, a bowl full of water. So Gideon is not quite sure what's going on here. You know, like, God, are you sure that you want me to do this? And then he says, look, God, I know that you've done what I've asked you to do. I need you to do it again. And this time he says, make the reverse happen. Keep the ground. Then he says, allow me one more test with the fleece, but this time make the fleece dry and let the ground be covered with dew. And that night the Lord did as Gideon had asked. And then he says, then in Judges number 7, chapter 7, now it was time for them to go and face this army that was in the valley. And so Gideon goes with 22,000 men, you know, and so the Lord said to him, look, there's too many men here, there's too many people, so I don't want people to boast and say we defeated the army because of my own strength. And so he says, turn, you know, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave. And so 22,000 men left while 10,000 remained. So there was a lot of people. God said there was still too many men, take them away. And eventually they came down to, they only had 300 people. Now, in verse number 8, it says, during that night, the Lord said to Gideon, get up and go down the camp, go up against the camp, because I'm going to give it into your hands. If you're afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant and listen to what they're saying. And afterward, you'll be encouraged to attack the camp. So he and his servant went down to the outposts of the camp. And so all these people had settled in the valley, and they were thick as locusts. Their camels could no more be counted than the sand on the seashore. And so Gideon arrived and listened to what these enemies were saying. As a man was telling his friend a dream, I had a dream, he was saying, a round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed. His friend responded, this can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands. And the story goes that when Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he did a bit of worshiping, and then they came in and they destroyed the army. You know, and thus it says that in Judges chapter 8, verses 28, thus Midian was subdued before the Israelites and did not raise its head again. During Gideon's lifetime, the land had peace for 40 years. Now, if we can take a deep breath, you know, we exist on this planet for a reason. There is something that God wants to do with each and every one of us during this season of history. We're not just here to take up space, that God has a plan and a purpose, you know, and that when God breathed into the nostrils of Adam, you know, he breathed the spirit, he breathed life, you know, and that is the life that we have coursing through our veins. The fact that we have not been subdued by COVID-19, the fact that, you know, we're still breathing, the fact that we're still turning up, suggest to me that God has a plan and a purpose for us as individuals, but collectively for us as a church. And so the question is it possible to know your purpose, but still doubt if you're on the right track? You know, Gideon was a guy who struggled They were under attack. They didn't know what was going on. And so here is this man who is struggling to understand that, God, you said, we've heard all these stories about how you came through and you led the children of Israel out of Egypt and you did all these great and mighty and wonderful works. But look at us, we're under siege. How can it be? And so for each and every one of us, it's like, Lord, how come many years ago there were words that were spoken over my life that I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, but at this moment, I don't see anything. I don't see the things that you've spoken coming to pass. All I see is confusion, or that I'm confused with my life. You know? And so how do I know what my purpose is? There are some questions here that Gideon said, you know, he was saying, if, why, and where. You know, where he's basically saying, God, if you're for me, why are all these things happening to us? You know? And this is not a question. This is a question that he would have constantly asked the Lord. That why? Why are these things happening to me? Shouldn't I be moving forward? Shouldn't all those things that you said I'd be doing, that I would lead many people to come to know you, that I'll, you know, whether it's, you know, I'm going to start up a business, how come all these things are not happening at this stage? And so, God, what God said is that the Lord is with you, you mighty warrior. You know? And that's what I want to just encourage you with this morning, is that God is calling out the strength that is within you. That you say, no matter what the situation is, he is calling out the strength within you. He's not calling out the weaknesses. Because at times like this, the one thing that we tend to do when things are not going our way, we tend to see all the negative things about us that are stopping us from moving forward. And all I want to say is that this situation was created for you so that you can discover what was on the inside. So all of a sudden, they're coming up against this army. And what God is exposing Gideon to is what's on the inside of him. And so no matter what you're facing in your life, it could be a family situation, what God is saying is that, you know what? If you had really to look at the situation that you're going through, it's meant to show you what's on the inside of you. And what's on the inside of you is strength. What on the inside of you is drive. What is on the inside of you is purpose. And whilst it can be frustrating, you know, I believe that your situation needs you. Where you are placed at work, you know, where we can struggle and wonder, why has this happened to me? Why do I have to deal with this? Because the situation needs you so that you can stand up and begin to live the life that God has purposed you to live, just like Gideon did. That situation came around so that he could discover what was on the inside of him and begin to walk in his purpose. And so the purpose is within you and not outside of you. It's not something external to you. And what we tend to do is that we look at our purpose and say, oh, it must be something that's happening on the outside of me. But it's actually within you, you know? And so I recall a story where whenever I would encourage somebody, you know, whatever I did, you know, I would feel the adrenaline course through my veins, feel very happy. And it's only years later that I discovered that, you know what, when I encourage, I come alive. And that's what I do. And so now, you know, it clicked in my mind, and over the last 5 years of my life has taken a turn where what I do is I encourage people. You know, I'm a coach. I coach people and I encourage them, whether it's one-on-one coaching, business owners, I do that. And that just makes me come alive. You know, I was in Headland for exactly that purpose. You know, training, I was doing some board training, you know, as well as leadership training on Friday. And that, you know, that makes me feel very good. Being in church is just an extension. Standing up here and speaking is an extension, I believe, of who I am. And that is to encourage and to empower other people to live their best lives. So really, purpose is something that is on the inside of us. And so your situation will always call out the purpose from within you. You know, strength and purpose are engaged when you live your life to serve other people. Creativity is sparked, you know. Mission and vision come to life. Because the how we are going to fulfill our purpose will only come to life or becomes evident when you start taking the steps. And as long as Gideon was focused on the fact that they were just being beaten down, nothing happened. The moment he started taking steps and believing the things that God had said, all of a sudden, this man that was hiding and cowering was able to lead not 32,000 men, but 300 men to defeat the enemy. And what happened is that for 40 years, there was peace in the land of Israel. All because of that man that started off weak, that didn't know what his life was going to mean or where they were going to go. That story of Gideon is a story of you and I. That there is something that is on the inside of us. You know, there is something, you know, that God wants to bring to life and say, you know what? Today I want you to understand that you are called for a purpose. That you are called for a reason. You're a business owner. You're a grandparent. You're a parent. You're a young person. You know, you are called here for a purpose. And sometimes you see, even though we might think I know what my purpose is, it's quite easy for us to get a bit scared. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I'm doing the right thing. But if we look at what happened with Gideon, is that he did things even when he was afraid. Imagine if God tells you that you are going to go and defeat the army, you know, and then and this is what God said to him. He says, if you are afraid to go and to go to the camp of the army and listen to what they're going to say, you are going to be encouraged. But he says, if you are afraid, take your servant with you. You know? And so sometimes, even though we are scared, God is saying, I'm not mad at you. That's okay. I'm going to walk with you along this journey. Because it's quite powerful that you are told that you're going to go in to defeat whatever thing, whatever obstacle is standing in your way. But he says, you know what, if you're a bit scared, don't. It's all right. You know, you can take somebody else along to help you. And that's how God is so invested in all of us. God is, you see, there is a warranty on our lives. And that warranty, just like, you know, I use an Apple phone. And that, you know, that sign of an Apple phone that's chewed out, there is a warranty that they give that basically says we are willing to stake our lives that if this phone does not work the way it's supposed to work, you can bring it back to the shop and we'll give you another one. And that is the same warranty. When I say God has invested in each and every one of us, he's invested in us and he's saying there is a warranty that I want you to be successful, that even if you're scared, I'm okay. I'm okay with it, but I want you to push through being scared and sometimes to do the things that you need to do whilst you're afraid. You see, Gideon kept saying to the Lord, you know, he asked him and he said, oh, could you, if it's really you, here's a fleece, can you put the dew on it and let the ground be dry? And the Lord said, yeah, that's fine, we'll do that. Then he says, look, I'm really sorry, if it's you again, keep the ground, do the reverse. And guess what God did? He did whatever Gideon asked him to do. Why? Because God wants to guarantee your success. You know, he said, I have staked your life and your purpose that you are going to make it. And so God did that. You see, the fleece, you know, the questions that you're going to ask the Lord, they are just used to confirm the will of God for your life and not to determine it. Because God has purposed that you become successful in every area of your life. And so the fleece is just used to confirm, Lord, I just need you to confirm one more time that that's you that I've heard from before I go along this road. And as you approach God that way, he will do the things that you've asked him to do to confirm the will and not to determine it. You see, life was meant for all of us to be lived and to be enjoyed intentionally. David says in the Psalms, your eyes saw my unformed body. And as the band comes up, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And you know, ordained means to be put in order, decided in advance. The synonyms of that are to predetermine, predestine. That God has predestined your life to be successful. That he has put you here on this planet, not, you know, it's great to, not just to make up the numbers, but to count. You know, he has put you on this place to count. He has put you on this planet because you matter. You matter to him. There is only things that you can do, you know. There are things that other people can't do, and only you can do those things. You know, Auntie, I just want to say that there are things that, questions that you've asked of the Lord, you know, doubts that you may have had. But God is saying that I am intentional with my love for you. I am intentional with the things that I want to do for your life. That you no longer have to doubt and to wonder if, you know, about what the meaning of life is or just the confusion of the things that are happening around you. And understand that God has equipped you. God has given you the things that you need to live the life that you want, to live that successful life. And that God has placed his gifts on the inside of you. That God has placed a mantle of leadership on your life, that you will lead people. You know, you will take people on a journey. And that the things that you've experienced, the things that you have gone through, you will begin to use your experience to lead other people in the way that you should go, and not doubt that God is with you, and that as you will look back, you will recognize that all this time that I thought that I was alone, that God was always with you. So, we are people of purpose. God wants to do something with our lives. So what should our posture be? And I want to say that our posture this morning should be that of confidence. You know, we need to be confident that God will never leave us, never forsake us. So as a parent, let me be confident that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives that are just beyond paying the bills and the mortgage. Let's be intentional with our families. You know, Pastor David was my former pastor in Headland, and he always used to say, get your children involved in doing something in the church, because no matter where you go, they will always have a place, they will always have a function in the house of God. You know, especially this to the grandparents. God, your time is not up. Your time is not finished. You know, for the age that we're living in as grandparents, we need you now more than ever. We need your wisdom. We need your experience. We need your guidance. We need your words of wisdom to guide us along the way. To young people, let's be confident that God is holding our hand. Let's stay connected to God and to imagine the possibilities for your life. You know, to the people that own and run a business or that aspiring to be business people, Be confident that your situation has been created that will show the power of God. It's more than the cash flow. Cash flow is important in business, you know. And I honestly believe, and it's my prayer, that God will bless you as a business owner so that you will be a blessing, that resources are going to come your way. And as God pours into you, you can pour into others. But for all of us as a church family, for C3 Wellard, let's be confident and imagine knowing that Christ is coming back for his bride. That through us, the church, this message will go out and touch other people. So that when we open our mouths and pray, we will see God do amazing things in our midst. You know, that people will be dumbfounded that, you know, when so-and-so prayed for me, this is what happened. You know, that when you invite your friends to come to church, that this will be a place where people are set free. This will be a place of healing, of restoration, a place of salvation. This will be a place where people's dreams would come to pass. Because we are confident that God has put his stamp. Just like Apple puts a stamp on their phones and on their products, God has put a stamp of his Holy Spirit on us. And there is no way that God has put a stamp on us that he's going to leave us alone. He's going to be with us so that we will begin to see the lives of people changed. Amen. And so I just want to invite